Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Associated Alcohol Breweries Limited, hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, it's our pleasure to host the senior management of Associated Alcohol Breweries Limited. We have with us Mr. Anshuman Kedia, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Tushar Bhandari, Whole-time Director CFO, and Mr. Ankit Agarwal, Group CFO, and Go India Advisors, the IR team. Without wasting much time, I'll hand over the call to the management for opening remarks, and then we'll move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rahul, and a warm welcome to everyone joining the Q3 and nine-month financial year 25 earnings conference call for Associated Alcohol Breweries Limited. The financial results and investor presentations have been made available, and I trust you've had a chance to review them. Despite a dynamic and challenging environment, ABL has demonstrated resilience and focus, underscoring its position as one of the most dominant players in the Indian alcohol industry. ABL continues to make steady progress in expanding its product portfolio and strengthening its market presence. The festive season and the onset of winter served as key demand drivers, helping us achieve strong results in this quarter. ABL's presence across the end-to-end liquor value chain provides us with a unique advantage, offering flexibility and operational efficiencies that help us navigate fluctuations in input costs. This performance underscores our unwavering commitment to innovation and quality, ensuring our products align with evolving consumer preferences and meet the highest standards of excellence. The Indian alcohol industry is undergoing a significant transformation, driven by rapid changes in consumer preferences. Premiumization remains a key trend, and consumers are increasingly seeking high quality, aspirational products that offer a refined experience. This shift is reflecting a broader movement towards an emphasis on quality over quantity, and at ABL, we are well-positioned to capitalize on this evolution. Our approach has always been centered on innovation, introducing products that cater to the dynamic tastes of today's consumers while maintaining affordability. Over the past few quarters, we have been strategically focused on strengthening our brand presence and ensuring our offerings stand out in a competitive market. Our plans remain firmly on track, with focus on introducing new products and expanding into new regions. Looking ahead, we are excited about our upcoming product launches, which includes RTD, Brandy, and Tequila, each designed to meet the growing demand for diverse, high-quality beverages. In addition to expanding our portfolio, we are actively working on extending our geographic reach. We are proud to be among the top five players in Kerala and hold a substantial market share in Madhya Pradesh. As we enter new regions, we are confident in our ability to replicate this success by offering quality products at competitive prices tailored to regional preferences. This integration empowers us to remain agile and adaptable, enabling us to respond effectively to market dynamics while consistently delivering value-driven outcomes. ABL's strategy continues to focus on three key pillars: premiumization, operational excellence, and market expansion. These elements ensure that we remain agile, competitive, and positioned for sustainable growth. With these strategic pillars in place, we are confident in our ability to continue on our growth trajectory while maintaining stable margins. Now I would like to introduce Mr. Tushar Bhandari, who will discuss AABL's strategic priorities and the performance of our recently launched product.
Thank you, Anshuman, and good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to report that AABL is steadily embracing the premiumization trend. Over the past year, we have introduced two new products in the prestige and above category, Nicobar Gin and Enfield Whiskey. The launch of these brands has not only strengthened our premium product portfolio, but also refined our commitment to deliver quality at affordable price. These products have collectively garnered a sale volume of over 3,000 cases in the 9-month FY25. Our proprietary IMFL brand sales volume grew by 23% this quarter compared to the same period last year, driven primarily by the strong performance of our brands. Enfield Whiskey has exceeded our initial expectation in the key states, while Nicobar Gin continues to see steady growth with expanded availability in other regions. As we enter new markets, we remain confident that our product lineup will continue to meet evolving consumer preferences. We have secured the necessary permission and are making steady progress towards launch in UP, Maharashtra and Goa, with the plans to enter additional states. Our ethanol plant is currently running at optimum capacity and we have successfully secured tenders from OMC with an allocation of 29,724 kiloliters of ethanol for estimated supply year of 24-25. To support our growth initiative, we have installed additional bottling lines, bringing our total to 41 lines. This advanced facility enhanced our ability to meet the growing demand of both proprietary and licensed IMFL products. Additionally, our ongoing investment in single malt plant refers us a long-term vision of offering premium, high-quality products at an accessible price point. Going forward, we anticipate that the contribution of proprietary IMFL to our overall revenue will continue to rise, driven by new product launches and geographical expansion. There has been a lot of media report on the new excise policy of Madhya Pradesh FY25-26. While the policy is yet to be finalized and approved, the outline measures indicate significant steps towards enhancing governance, promoting transparency and supporting industry growth. As a company with over 40 years of experience in the industry, operating across diverse geography, the company has successfully navigated various regulatory landscapes. We have believed that the proposed changes reflect a positive direction for the sector and present and new opportunities for growth. We provide insight into the key elements of MP excise policy as reported and their potential implications for AABL. Liquor restrictions in 17 towns and villages. Policy insight. The proposed policy includes a restriction in sale of liquor in regional sites across 17 towns and villages, resulting in closure of 47 retail shops across Madhya Pradesh. From this perspective, the closure represents just 47 shops out of 3,300 shops statewide. This continued a minor fraction of the retail network, and we do not foresee any material impact on sales. The consumption from these areas is expected to shift to nearby towns, ensuring sales and as per our expectations. Renewal of retail shops licensing. Policy insight. Retail shop license renewal will incur 20% duty hike. We anticipate that most retailers will opt for renewal, ensuring minimal disruptions and the company sales will be as per expectations. Mandatory e-chalan and EBT. Transaction to electronic chalan and bank guarantees. We welcome this move as it enhances governance and transparency within the industry. AABL is well prepared for digital compliance given our established system and practices. New bar license with lower fees limited to serve beer, wine and RTD products. This is a welcoming step that aligns with our plans to enter RTD segment in Q4 FY25. We expect this policy to bolster our RTD sales and support the expansion of our product portfolio. New segment in country liquor. Introduction of new 60 proof liter segment in country liquor. While the performance of this segment will be evaluated over the time, we believe its presence and opportunities to boost sales. ABL is well positioned to adapt to these changes due to our flexible product capability. The proposed policy demonstrates a progressive approach by the government focusing on modernization, governance and inclusivity in liquor industry. We believe these steps will support long-term growth and sustainability. ABL remains committed to leverage our existing experience, robust operational framework and strategic product innovation to capitalize on the opportunities presented by this policy. We are confident in our ability to adapt seamlessly and deliver consistent performance in the evolving regulatory landscape. Looking ahead, we are particularly excited about our RTD segment launched in Q4 FY25 and our strategic enter into the new states like Maharashtra and Goa. These initiatives, coupled with the operational efficiency, position us strong to achieve our growth ambition. Now I will hand over the floor to Mr. Ankit Agarwal, our Group CFO, to discuss our financial performance for the quarter.
Thank you, Tushaji, and good afternoon, everyone. We have delivered strong results across key financial parameters. Q3 FY25, the festive season and the advent of winter provided us a significant boost to demand, resulting in a robust performance. Net revenue increased by 71% to 327 crores compared to 191 crores in the same period last year. This growth was achieved despite inflationary pressure on input costs, particularly for grain and packing materials. Even the rice price reaching 28,000 per metric ton and the maize at 24,000, our focus on operational efficiency and disciplined cost management helped us sustain a healthy gross margin of 38%. Encouragingly, raw material costs have begun to stabilize, which would provide further relief in coming quarters. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 40 crores with a margin of 12%, while PAT increased by 107% year-on-year basis to 26 crores, achieving a PAT margin of 8%. In terms of segment-wise performance, proprietary MFL bond contributes to 37 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 31%. Licensed brand revenue grew at 13%, reaching to 77 crores. IMIL sales stood at 62 crores, grew at 23%. Merchant DNA contributed to 39 crores. Ethanol revenue for the quarter was 72 crores. Operationally, our proprietary MFL volume for the quarter stood at 4.69 lakh cases, with licensed MFL brand reaching to 6.16 lakh cases. Merchant DNA volume for the quarter stood at 6 million liters, and ethanol volume was recorded at 10 million liters. For FY19-25, net revenue grew by 61% to 833 crores, from 518 crores in 9-month FY24. EBITDA for the year stood at 93 crores with a margin of 11%, while PAT increased to 59 crores with PAT margin of 7%. Looking ahead, we remain focused on delivering revenue growth to our proprietary NFL products, supported by new product launches and market expansion. We are immensely grateful for your trust and support. With a clear vision and robust strategy, ABL is well positioned to deliver long-term value for all the stakeholders. Thank you, and now we can open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aman Baheti from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the associated team for a brilliant set of numbers. I had a few questions. The first question is related to the EBITDA margin guidance that the PPT contains. So on a consolidated basis, we have been saying that our focus will be moving on to some premium products, and that can deliver a higher margin. So why have we, you know, given a lower guidance of, 9 to 11% of EBITDA margins?
So hi, so this year our margins we are expecting on a, you know, year on year for the full year basis should be on a similar lines. Since we have recently launched a new products in the premium segment, this will contribute additional, you know, margin for the next year onwards. This year we expect to the margin remains in a similar range.
Okay, so going forward, will the margins improve as per management's guidance to 13 to 15%?
Yes, definitely it should. From next year onwards.
Okay. And what has been the progress, sir, regarding your expansion in different states like Maharashtra and Goa? How's that going?
So as I already told that the most of the formalities have already been done in the states of Maharashtra and Goa. And very soon we will start supplying in these states. So Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra and Goa, these are three states. So very soon, within this month, we'll start supplying our products.
Okay. And one last question regarding the realization, sir. So our Indian-made Indian liquor realizations are, relatively steeper than our proprietary, you know, products. So going forward, what kind of realization growth are you expecting?
So in terms of the IMIL, the realization would be on the similar lines or slightly higher. But we are expecting that in coming years that the realization in our IMFL brands, proprietary brands, should increase as the sale of our premium brands would increase.
Okay, okay. And regarding our new product, the gin, so what has been the response in that?
So the new gin which has been launched is doing fairly well, and we've launched right now in Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh and Delhi, and it has received a fairly well response. And in southern states, like, as I said, that Maharashtra, Goa and Uttar Pradesh, which are the biggest states, we are seeing the, as soon as we start the sale, we'll see an increase in growth and sale.
Okay, okay, great, okay, that's it from my side, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, please go. Hi. So my first question is that, you know, we haven't seen increase in your deposition cost in the last few quarters, despite commissioning of the ethanol plant. So I just wanted to understand this.
So depreciation costs will remain in the same level, or in fact it will increase, because right now in this quarter we have capitalized our new bottling plant. So this should go up a little in the next quarter. But the main reason, because the distillery, which has got relatively old, so depreciation, you know, has a few of the assets has got reduced over the period. The life of the ethanol plant is around its 20-25 years. So that's why the depreciation comes relatively less.
Okay, understood. And you know, the second question is that we've seen a very good scale up on your contract manufacturing fees, right? So, I mean, how big do you envisage this segment to get, and what are the margins and what are the capex that we want to do here?
So the contract manufacturing business, we are seeing a substantial growth in that. And looking into the growth and the sale of USL brands for whom we do contract manufacturing, we have set up a new state-of-art bottling hall, and we have added 10 new lines for that, and which will be most of it is automatic, and we spend around about 50 crores as a capex in that.
Okay, 50. And what is the margin that you envisage in this segment?
Our margin is around 60%, so we get the bottling fees, and out of that 60% is the margin of ours.
Right. And for FY26, what is the sort of the revenue guidance that you're targeting? Do you think we can do about 1200 crores?
Yeah, we should. So considering, you know, ethanol and all available flat, we should be crossing that number. It should be higher than that.
Okay. And my last question, sir, is that just wanted to understand your excise duty. So, I mean, X of ethanol and ENA, I think the revenue is about 215 crores for the quarter, and you've paid like 7 crores of excise duty on that. or if you could just sort of help me understand the excise duty calculation here.
So excise duty, we have to look state-wise. So like in MP and Kerala, there is no excise duty on the part of manufacturer. That is being borne by the retailer. So that doesn't come in our books. And the excise duty right now we are seeing is basically because of our increasing sales in Delhi and Chhattisgarh, where the excise duty is on the part of the manufacturer.
So all the states, different states have got the different policies. Certain states, excise duty is paid by the manufacturer, and in certain states, excise duty is paid by the retailers.
Okay. Got it. That's it for my mind. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have one question. I just wanted to know what is the status of our malt plant and what shall be its capacity?
So our malt plant is expected to start, we are expecting to start production in April, somewhere around April onwards. The capacity is 6,000 liters per day.
Okay. And can you state the capex number for FY25 and 26?
So for 25 and 26, around 100 crores each year will be our capex outlay, and that will be mainly through our internal approvals and the preferential money which we have raised.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shantanu Basu from Smiths Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm tracking this company very recently. This is the first time I'm tracking, to be honest with you. So just going by your PPT, I'm a bit perplexed with the fact that your top line growth for the quarter against corresponding quarter of last year is 71%. But the category growth that I'm seeing, revenue growth, the highest growth that I've seen is 30% plus. So what am I missing? Can you please clarify?
Yes, it's the ethanol plant. So ethanol plant, this is the first quarter. So this got commissioned last year, mid-Jan 24. So this revenue was not there in the previous year numbers.
Oh, I see. So it's just because, but I think I saw your ethanol plant revenue also, you're showing something, quarter-on-quarter you're showing the revenue.
Since we don't have the YY number, so we'll just compare quarter and quarter. So that is Q3 versus
Q2 FY25 versus Q3 FY25. Okay, I see. You have it. Given the YY number, so ethanol was missing in last December quarter. That is what you're saying.
The last Q4, so somewhere around 15 Jan the plant got started. Q4 will be the first quarter.
So December it was missing. That's why the growth is 71%.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Naman Shah from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I just had two, three questions. Just wanted to ask about the broken rice announcement that the government has recently done. Will that be beneficial for us in the ethanol segment?
The broken rice announcement which has been done by the government would definitely be beneficial in the sense that the availability of the crop would increase substantially. And so the other crop and the price would go down. We are expecting it to go down the crop. And the price also which government has quoted is a very attractive price, is 20 to 500. So definitely this will benefit us in the reduction of the crop price, raw material pricing. Be it rice or be it corn also. Because maize, a lot of people, maize were buying maize would get diverted to rice also. And we are expecting the fresh crop also in the coming month. So we are expecting to see the softening in the prices of raw material.
Right. And is this 9% margins in ethanol sustainable in the future also?
Yeah, so margin in ethanol should be within the range of 7 to 9%, depend on the pricing of the raw material. But yeah, if the price of raw material sustained to level what it is, so we should be able to deliver those sort of numbers.
Okay. And regarding Nicobar and Hill Fort, sir, could you specify on the revenue contribution by Nicobar and Hill Fort to our top line?
Right now, we have sold around 3,000 cases. And slowly, slowly, we are catching up. And every month on month, we are seeing this increase in sale. And so right now, it's quite minuscule in terms of revenue. And we are expecting it to grow at a faster pace. And we have received a very positive response from the market.
Right.
Price realization, we say that the existing price realization in Nicobar is 88,100, and in terms of Hill Fort, it's 3,100.
Okay. So this 3,000 cases is for Nicobar or Hill Fort?
It's combined.
It's combined. Okay. And sir, so what was the reason for the delay in the launch of RTD? I mean, it was supposed to launch in Q3.
So the delayed launch in RTD was from the end of the machine supplier. The machine was getting it. We are planning to. We were getting it imported from U.S. and it's getting delayed. It's getting stuck there. That's why it's a delayed in launch. Otherwise, our label registration in Madhya Pradesh is almost done. We applied for that, and our packaging and everything is ready. It's being delayed from the machine supplier end.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Congrats on good set of numbers, sir. My question relates to ethanol. So, will you be buying this FCI rice from the market from FCI?
Right now, there's not much clarity on how it will be given and to whom it will be given. So, right now, government is also planning to come out with one more tender of supply of ethanol. And there might be a possibility that those tender will be given only to people who are purchasing FCI rice. So, there's no clarity. And who will be given and what quota will be given. Once that picture is out, then definitely, if opportunity is there, we will definitely look at buying this rice because it's coming at a very attractive price.
So, whatever the tender you got from OMC, against that, if suppose the clarity comes, then you can buy rice from OFC, and then that can support your margin.
Definitely.
And
It'll have a bad because the quantity is huge. So, there'll be a huge supply, a certain supply of raw material, so it'll have a major impact in the commodity price.
Okay. So, major benefit can come from the market decline price of the rice.
Pardon me?
You say that the major benefit can come because of the market, whatever the current prices, you said around 28,000, that will come down and that will benefit the company.
Yes.
And second thing, sir, how much is the yield from rice for ethanol?
Ghee from rice from ethanol is around 450.
450. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So great to see, I think, from 4 quarters back, single product launch to, two products being launched on the roadmap. I have two questions. One on the product side, as you said, the cases together is 3,000. But in terms of the states we are targeting in next 1 to 2 years for these two products, one, what is the overall market size and what, market share we are trying? I'm not looking for exact number, but some, fair guidance. That is one. And second, 2-3 quarters back, we were at the lowest end of our raw material margin cycle in terms of grain prices. The bottling prices were also bad. I think that was the worst. And going forward, next 2-3 years, we are giving a guidance of, 13%-15% margin. And there are three components to it. One is because of our better premiumization revenue mix. So my question is, do you expect those margins keeping the reversal of bottling and grain prices, or everything is included? And in the current margin, like how much you see coming from premiumization, and are the other two factors also contributing to margin improvement? These are the two questions I have.
You see, to answer your first question, we are launching the premium products in the state of Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra and Goa. And recently we have launched in Delhi. And the market is huge there, but definitely entering a new state with a new product and being it so competitive right now, it's very difficult to predict how much market share will you be able to achieve. But we are looking at, in the initial stages, to look at taking at least a 3-4% market share of the product in terms of the Hilford brand category. And in terms of Nicobar, we believe in expanding the reach and width of distribution. That's where we are concentrating on, because we've got a very positive feedback from the market in terms of the quality, as Nicobar is compared to other products which are available at the same price point or at a higher price point also in the market. So right now we are looking at expanding the reach, because gin is a product, if more visibility is there, the sale will increase substantially. That's what we are concentrating on. And on your second question, I'll not clear clearly.
So I'll just take up the second question. So premium product doesn't contribute much in our top line as of now. It's very, very minuscule in number. But we expect to increase it in further. And that will also help us to overall increase in the margin of the company going forward.
Okay, so sir, next two years margin improvement and the other...
You were also asking that the margin increase has also come from the operational efficiencies.
Yes.
Okay. So your 2 years of margin guidance improvement which you are giving, is it more because of operational efficiency, raw material, or is it more will be coming from premium products?
No, it's not lower right now, but this year we are saying that we will be in the similar lines. But in the coming years, we will expect an increase in the margin because of the sale of premium products. Obviously, efficiencies will also play a major role in that. But primarily, we are looking over the long-term period, the margin contribution should improve with the help of the increase in sale of premium products.
Okay. And so the last question, given we have launched two premium products and we are getting good reviews, but we are also fighting with players with significant brand play. So what is your marketing go-to-market strategy and brand management strategy for these two premium products going forward?
So our go-to-market strategy in different products is completely different. So in terms of gin, as I told you, we are looking at width of distribution and availability in HoReCa space. That's what we are primarily concentrating on. And we've been able to capture most of the HoReCa chains in MP and Chhattisgarh. It's been recently launched in Delhi, so Delhi also we will be planning to do that. And in terms of Hilford, when it's considered to be Hilford, so what we've tried to do on the initial stage as per our strategy, which has been always, is to provide value for money to the customers. So we've launched a good packaging, good quality liquid we've concentrated, and we are giving it at a reasonable price. That is one. And second is we are pushing at the retail counters. We are educating the retail customer. We are trying to give certain incentive to the retail salesman. That's where we're trying to push and achieve our growth in that. And also we are working on social media platforms to create the awareness and to create the premiumization look and feel and the experience of the product.
Great. And so last question on this Madhya Pradesh partial liquor ban. And I think in the beginning itself you told it's minuscule. I think maybe 3% of revenue at state is getting impacted. But the question is, what triggered this action, and do you think is any possibility of this action of state government extending to, you know, more parts of Madhya Pradesh?
So this was primarily the action was taken in terms of religious grounds, and definitely as on today also there is a policy that there should be no liquor shops near schools, temples and colleges. So on those lines, this policy has come out to be, and it has hardly, it contributes only 1% of the shops, 1.5% of the shops which will close because of that. And definitely the sale of these shops will flow to other nearby shops. And on a long-term strategy, as you asked, that would it lead to liquor bans in Madhya Pradesh? I don't foresee that, because as right now, post GST era, liquor excise duty to the government and VAT on petrol are the two major revenues for the state government. And we've seen in the attitude also change in the state government, because right now, before making the policy, state government asked the manufacturers and the retailers also to be a part of it and take suggestions from us, which was not there earlier. So this also contributes, this also states that definitely we contribute to a major revenue of the state. And plus, apart from that, if there was a regional party in Madhya Pradesh, we could have even thought of this kind of thing. But as it's a national party, ruling party, so national ruling party cannot have different philosophies in different states. So that also gives us a comfort level that this kind of thing would not come in near future.
Got it, got it. Thanks a lot, sir, and best wishes for coming quarters.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav from Bullseye. Please go ahead.
Hello. So are you able to hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So congratulations on the good set of numbers. So my question is like, how much incremental revenue do we expect from the new geographies which we have added or which we plan to add?
So see, the initial stages, we would not see much incremental revenue. But as over a period of time, we would see substantial increase in the revenue, because see, these states which we are planning to enter are the biggest states in terms of liquor sales, which includes Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra and Kerala. Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra and Goa. So these are the huge states, and if we are able to crack certain portion of it also, we will see an incremental revenue to a greater extent. And as we have shown in terms of our incremental sales in Kerala, over the years we've been trying to increase our sales in Kerala, and we are now the fifth largest market player in the state of Kerala, apart from the after the big companies. And we see a continued increase in the market share in Kerala market. If that thing happens similar in one or two or three markets also, then you would see a substantial increase in the revenue from the sale of our premium products. And that's what the that's where the company is focused on. And that's why the company is also also taking aggressive actions and recruiting senior sales and marketing people in various states. That's our strategy has been that we take certain senior, well-experienced players in market different markets wherever we enter.
Any ballpark figure which you target by FY26 or FY25 implementation revenue?
I cannot say FY26 or 25, but over the long-term period, we are expecting the sale from our proprietary brand should be around 50 to 60% of our top line.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Naman Shah from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just one question. Just wanted to ask about the marketing spend. If you could give an absolute number on the marketing spend that we do.
So right now, the marketing spend is around about, say, around 3 to 5%. Because we are not going over the board, or we are not doing any over the board marketing, and we are doing at the retail outlet level.
And what is the percentage?
As the premium product increases, so we will have to, as the premium product increases and the new markets we enter with the premium products, we will have to increase our marketing spend in the initial years for creating the brand awareness and visibility and width of distribution.
Right, so that 3 to 5% can go to 5 to 6%?
Yes, 7%? Yes. Yeah.
Right. And one more question, sir. What is the competition we see currently in tequila, gin? Anybody who is coming up with a product similar to us?
You see, not only in terms of tequila or gin, I would see that one is that there is a competition in all the categories which are there right now. But that's a positive sign also, because there is an opportunity as well. That's where most of the people are coming in. So I see it will be, on a long-term perspective, it will be completely on the survival of the fittest kind of platform. Like we've seen 100 gins which have been launched in India over the last couple of years. But out of which I think only 30 to 20, 25 are performing well. So one is that you have to be consistent. Second is that you have to assure the quality is really good of the liquid and the packaging is good. And you have to keep evolving and coming out with the brand in the market that is there. This I'm talking about the gin and the other product portfolios. As you said about the new products which we are launching, which is the RTD and which is tequila. So we expect the RTD market to grow substantially. So we expect the RTD market, as per the market survey and research, should grow by at least 17% to 20%. So that is a great potential we see. And in terms of tequila, there is no right now. There is only one or two Indian tequilas which are available right now. We will be the third one probably to launch a tequila. And ours would be pure tequila, which will be imported from Mexico. It will be 100% agave spirit. So we see a great potential in that, and we are seeing a growth of around about 30 to 40% in the tequila market. So there's a good potential in that.
Right. Thank you so much, sir. That is all.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rohan Patel from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. You've already explained how does the business development and market development in IMFL portfolio was. But I want to ask regarding the country liquor, IMIL. We are doing fairly 191-120 crore business in 2024, and that is pretty much stable. It hasn't grown. Like in FY20, it was 131 crore. So what are our plans in country liquor? Like, will it be a steady 200 crore business where there would be only price realization growth and volume would be stable?
So the country liquor would be a very steady market, and it's a very very low value product. And apart from that, it's been done on the tendering process. And the tendering process has got certain cap on a particular individual of the quantity which one person can take. So we are at the maximum quantity which one distillery can take or bid or win the bid for a particular for Madhya Pradesh state. So we see whatever the growth in the industry would be there, we will grow at that pace only. And definitely, as the cost increases, we might see the price increase. Because it's done on the tendering process, I cannot comment on that. But that will remain the same, and that will grow as per what the industry would grow. So we are concentrating right now purely on our own value-added product and the premium product, because that's where the future is. Because now the young new entrant to the drinking age, they want to drink premium quality product. They want to drink less, but they want to drink good quality product. So that's where we are targeting, and there's a huge opportunity available there.
Okay, fair enough. And can we expect now that the raw material cost has stabilized, like after FCR, I think, coming down and other raw material and feedstocks would be down. So the margin would be expanding throughout the board, like in your premium products as well as your franchise product, licensed product, and
See, the grain prices would definitely, we might see a short-term stabilization or downward trend in terms of grain price as soon as the FCI rice comes and the fresh crop comes in the next month. But over the long-term perspective, we see that there can be a certain stability coming in the grain price, because if you see the data, the crop cultivation of maize is increasing month on month. So farmers are being more aware. We as an institution also are educating the farmers of benefits of growing maize. So as the maize availability increases, we might see a stability in the price, because that would come, but that will take a year or two when the maize would increase substantially, the cultivation of maize. And your second question was?
My question was regarding this only, that you explained. And just one question, which is quite a broad question, and it has a qualitative element in it. So what we have observed in IMFL is that companies that have performed greatly in this sector have like 2 to 3 blockbuster products that have done like 1 million cases of business for them. If you see Elite, If you see USL or if you see Radico, they have a couple of products that are like a millionaire brand. So like to make a millionaire brand, what does it mean? Like it needs definitely a
Making one or two brands of our brands as a million brands, and we are extremely working towards that. So just to give an example, that in our entire portfolio, if you see, we were the first company to fastly deliver a million cases when we launched in Kerala. Within a span of 3 years, we touched a million cases, and this year we expect to do 1.5 million cases. As in terms of brand level, definitely Radico and other like Diageo and all these are very old companies, and they have got products. So we are also working on those lines, and we are believing that we should have the entire portfolio with us, which we are working on. So with the art, with RTD, with our brandy, with our tequila, and with in future our single malt. So we will be a one-stop shop for any retailer or distributor. So that's what we are targeting to achieve. Then.
Okay. And one thing that we have also observed from legacy players is that in a particular category, for example, say, most of them are getting away from value side and focusing a lot on super premium and high-end prestige. But they have a strong 2 to 3 brands within a single category. Like, for example, USL has 2 to 3 brands in, say, semi-premium. Pernod Ricard has. So are we planning to bring, create a portfolio of, say, 10 brands out of that 2 to 3 will be in semi-premium, high-premium, prestige? Or we will be going slow by bringing one brand, then we'll see how that performs, then add another brand in same category?
No, we will have the entire portfolio. So see, the maximum consumption in India is the whiskey category. So in whiskey category, we have almost 4 brands right now. We are planning to introduce 1 or 2 more. So at every price point, starting from the lowest end of the price point to the premium, to the most premium price point, which will be in future, will be launching a single malt. We believe that we should be available in each and every category. Okay, and out of these categories, one product or two products can be the hero products, which can pick really well and gain the market share. In vodka category also, we have got two vodkas with us. One is CP vodka and second is titanium vodka. In rum also, we have 2 products. So like that, obviously, you will have to have one is a premium product and the second is a popular product. Because you cannot leave the popular price range category also, as the bigger player like, say, Pernod Ricard or USL are moving away from the popular category and going on the premium side only. So there's a huge potential of increasing the volume, because the volumes will come from the popular end products. So we have got the concentration on there also. So we are making a basket of the entire product portfolio.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the information. This was from
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sumit Agrawal, an independent investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So congratulations on good set of numbers. My question is regarding the distribution on the CST platforms. How's that going? And considering the new launches to be in gin and tequila, how is like CST conducive to these kind of drinks?
I'm sorry, I could not hear you clearly. Hello? Hi, Sumit.
Am I audible now?
Sumit, please come a little closer to the microphone. Thank you.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes.
So my question is regarding the distribution on the CSD platforms, considering the 2 new drinks to be like in gin and tequila categories. How are the, the sales in the CSD for both these kind of liquors?
Sumit, it's a very well question asked. We see a great potential in the CSD market. So we are in process of getting our products registered. So it's a lengthy process. It's a 6 months to 1 year process. So we are in the process of getting our products registered. But there's a huge opportunity in the CSD market, especially for the Indian liquor manufacturers. As in CSD markets also, the government has taken a serious step and have encouraged Make in India products. So all the international and imported products are banned in CSE. So there's a potential of gaining good market there, and we are working towards it. So there are certain norms which we have to follow and certain inspections which needs to be done. So we are in process of getting that done.
Excellent, sir. And my second and last question is regarding, you know, any tentative date. Everybody looks for like a single malt. It is the most kind of a hero product, highly premiumized. So any date you are looking at in future, tentative date, not a, you know, just a deadline, but just some tentative date on that?
We are expecting our plant to get commissioned by April 25. Okay, by April 25, the product will start coming out. And at least minimum maturity in the cask will be 1 to 2 years of that. So from April 25, 2 years, you can see that we will have our own product. But plus, in between, also what we are also doing is we are also launching a mid-range product. So right now we have got a Central Province whiskey and then we've got a Hinford whiskey. So we do not have anything. A Central Province EDP is 1200 and our Hinford EDP is 3100. So we do not have any product in between this gap. So we are trying to launch one more product in between this gap for which we will purchase malt from outside and then launch it. So that by the time our product is ready, we will have a certain market study and market testing done with the product.
Congratulations and good set of numbers, and hopefully for a good launch of single malt also. Eagerly waiting for that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Debayan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you. So my question is regarding the ethanol plant actually. So if you see, ethanol market is very much competitive. So I just wanted to understand the rationale behind entering the ethanol space. Thank you.
The rationale behind getting behind the ethanol space is that there is a huge opportunity there. So when the government has started the ethanol manufacturing, when the government started encouraging ethanol manufacturing, which is around about 2 to 3 years back, the government had targeted by 2025 they will achieve 20% blend in ethanol. So which government is expected to achieve as per the timeline. And in future, the ethanol market is going to grow only because the government is looking at reducing their import of oil and depending on their own ethanol manufacturing. And right now, it's only available in petrol. So in future, the government is also working on technology to come in diesel and increasing the ethanol blending in petrol also. So there's a huge opportunity and there's a better price realization. So right now our price realization in ethanol is 71.8 rupees, whereas in ENA it's slightly lower. So there is a huge opportunity also, and it gives us an economies of scale to us. So it gives us a higher realization in the overall portfolio. Because with the same staff and with everything being the same, we can achieve a higher volume.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
So, sir, in the IMFL segment for proprietary as well as IMIL also, we have done really well this quarter. If you can, you know, just spend some time and update what is working for us and this kind of like 31% growth in IMFL as well as in IML, is it sustainable? That is one. And second, on the ethanol side, the kind of revenue run rate which we are doing, could there be any volatility or these are contract based where there is enough revenue certainty?
Pardon me, I didn't get you. So see, the sustainable this quarter, there has been a substantial increase in our sales. And definitely, this would be sustainable. There will be a growth of 12 to 15% which we see in IMFL volume of our case.
Okay. And sir, IMIL also, we have done well, almost 23% of growth on YOY basis. So do you see IMIL also growth to sustain in...
IMIL, going IML, we will grow as per the industry or as per the market. So there is not much contribution where there because completely depend on the tenders. We have a yearly tender and whatever tenders you get, you have to supply in those particular districts. You have you are the sole supplier in those particular districts. And whatever the volume grows in that particular district, you will grow at that pace only. So IML would be stabilized only.
Got it. And ethanol, I think we are almost doing 68-70 crore now, and I think we are at our full utilization capacity. So do you think this number will sustain, or there are any kind of revenue risks there in ethanol?
Then it will sustain because we are using an optimum capacity and we are at optimum production.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
I would like to thank each and everyone who have taken out time to attend this conference call. And in case there is any further queries, you can directly contact Monark or Go India. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Monark Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.